Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Dan Torjman joins us from America's Best Racing. Check their website out. It is pretty awesome. Getting you ready for the Belmont Stakes. Not to mention, great time having you on, Dan, because I know that you've got some picks for some races. I want to say what we talked about it in the podcast, races 6, 7, and 9. So great to have you on exactly at this moment. How you doing, my friend?
Good. I'm doing well. You're exactly right. The timing is absolutely perfect. The big stakes races leading up to the Belmont Stakes are about to kick off here in a little bit. So, yeah, there's plenty to dive into.
All right, well, first and foremost, bigger storyline, right? And that is the Belmont is now the first leg of the Triple Crown. Kentucky, the Kentucky Derby set for September 5th, Preakness October 3rd. But the little, I guess the big change here is the fact that the mile and a half now has been brought down to a mile and eighth. Talk about why that decision was made and whether you agree or disagree with the decision.
Yeah, I think, you know, Belmont and the managing company of Belmont Park, which is NYRA, the New York Racing Association, they were really caught between a rock and a hard place. They had to decide how they were going to put this race on and still attract as many horses as possible, knowing that with all the cancellations earlier in the season due to coronavirus, a lot of the big races for the three-year-olds, including like the ones you just mentioned, the Derby and the Preakness, we're going to be packed into a tighter space later on in the calendar. The problem is, if you're an owner or you're a trainer, when you think about that mile and a half distance, the traditional distance of the Belmont Stakes, it's really hard to start a sustained campaign with a horse, starting them at that longer mile and a half distance. It's just a lot more grueling. It takes a lot out of the horse. And quite frankly, there's just not many horses who are bred to go that distance. And so if you keep it at that distance, like it's traditionally been, it would have turned away a lot of potential horses and owners. And as it, you know, as we sit here today, you know, a couple of hours away from the big race, I think it's a pretty good sign that they did attract 10 horses. Granted, there's one standout, and maybe that scared away some of the other horses, since Tis the Law is such a big standout today. But, you know, I think they were really trapped in a tough spot, trying to kind of keep everyone happy, knowing what the racing schedule sort of turned out to be in this wild year of 2020.
It is quite a wild year, that's for sure. Because of COVID-19, no fans in the grandstands, which is really sad. In fact, I took a spin class today. Pretty cool. Here in Hoboken, there's actually a spin studio that's doing spinning classes outside now. So I'm back to spinning. But I took the class with a number of friends of mine who we typically are at Belmont today. I want to say this is the first Saturday in 5 years, Dan, that I'm not at the Belmont hanging out. I typically do a pre-race show, then I sign off, then I'm eating the great food, I'm drinking the great, you know, Notorious Pink, rosé. I'm betting on the races. I'm hanging out with my friends that are horse owners, and they're like, it's one of my favorite days of the year, and unfortunately. My dogs are listening. I don't want to hurt their feelings. Unfortunately, I'm here in the living room of my apartment with my five dogs. And I'm going to be watching on TV, obviously. But, how different is this going to be for the horses? Because I know there are some horses that feed off the electricity of the fans in the grandstands. And then there's some that don't. So how is that going to play into this race, if at all?
And that's a good question. And first, let me just say, I admire your drive and your strength and your will to get up and on Belmont Stakes Day to do a spin class. That's something that I'm unfamiliar with. I just do not have that. It's not in my constitution, but in terms of the horses themselves, you know, I think what you look for is the discussion that happens a lot around the Kentucky Derby. Cause you know, with the Kentucky Derby, you have, you know, 150,000 plus people, always a raucous crowd screaming their heads off. And that tends to get to some horses. Some horses actually react negatively to that. And so, you look for horses who on days when you know there's going to be a big crowd who maybe are a little finicky getting into the gate sometimes, who don't usually break well from the gate, or who sweat a lot, or, you know, who show those visible signs of getting worked up. I think that's just one less variable to consider this year. I've heard from the jockeys and a lot of the trainers who say, yeah, it takes a little bit of the punch out of the day for them, you know, just from an emotional standpoint, from the standpoint of being able to react and cheer and high five and celebrate, not only with the people immediately surrounding you, which will be their friends and their family, but also just to feed off of that electricity of the crowd that you have on a day like Belmont Stakes. So look, it's a little different. I don't think that in any sort of real measurable way, I don't think it's going to impact the results that we see for the rest of the day. But yeah, certainly, we're all kind of, kicking the doors down, hopefully, to be able to get back out to the races. And I will say that at America's Best Racing, one of our correspondents, Penelope Miller, is fortunate enough to be at the track. I talked to her this morning. I asked her, what sort of precautions she had to take to cover the race as press. And she told me that, they did do a temperature check in the morning. They're obviously, there's a requirement to wear a mask for all media. And then there are stations where you can get sanitizer throughout the track. And so certainly different circumstances as well for the individuals covering the races.
All right. Where do you want to do you want to start with the big race first? You want to talk start with race 10, the Belmont Stakes, and then work our way back?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's do that. Okay. So obviously the big race is the Belmont Stakes is what everybody's going to be keen in on. And Tis the Law is favored. Tell us all the reasons why.
So Tis the Law is the favorite because thus far this year, he's won his two prep races, his two setup races, which are really big and tough races generally. He's won them by a healthy margin. He's done it easily. He did that at Gulfstream Park down in Florida. And then going back to last year, he also, his first two starts, one at Saratoga, one at Belmont, where they're running today, obviously, were both dominant performances, two really big wins. Out of his five career starts, there's only been one time that he hasn't won, and that's because there was an off track and he just didn't like it. Today, sun is shining, the track is dry. All things being equal, he just has the biggest and best resume of any horse in this field. He also comes in well-rested. The last time he raced was in late March. He comes in with a nice little break. And I will say, to add to the little sound clip we heard at the top of the segment for Mike Tirico about what it would be like for Tis the Law campaigning going all the way through to the Preakness potentially in October, he may actually run an additional race. In fact, the plan is to run him one time between this race and the Derby, and that one time would be at the Traverse in Saratoga, which was announced yesterday. That'll be on August 8th. And so this team, this ownership team, they're already planning beyond today. So just to give you a sense of the confidence they have. And the ownership team is also Saratoga Stables. They're based in upstate New York, the same ownership outlet that campaigned Funnyside, who, of course, won the Derby and Preakness back in 2003. So for all of those reasons, Tis the Law is going to go off a heavy favorite. And really, I think when you're looking to handicap this race, you're looking to bet this race, you're not going to make much money just betting Tis the Law. I mean, if you bet $10 on Tis the Law, you're probably going to get back $17 or somewhere thereabouts. That's not too exciting. So you got to find ways to inject what we call value into the wager. And the way you do it is the same way you would do it with a sports parlay. You pair the horse up with another horse in an exacta where the top two horses come out, or in a trifecta, obviously, with your top three horses. And for me, from a pace perspective, when I looked at this race, I tried to figure out how it was going to shape up. I thought the only scenario in which they could beat Tis the Law was if the horse on the rail, the one horse, Tap It to Win, who's a speed horse and who's been improving race after race, if he can get out of the gate cleanly, go to the lead, and settle down under jockey John Velasquez, who, of course, is one of the best. He's a Hall of Famer. If he could settle down without getting too much pressure from his outside, I thought he was a viable win contender, and at the very least is a quality enough horse to hang in for second if Tis the Law passes him late. So I'm going to be constructing my tickets really around those two horses.
All right. Because here's the thing, because we are in this pandemic, and as I opened up the show, listen, there's no football, there's no baseball, there's no basketball right now. I think more people are going to be watching the Belmont. More people are going to try to wager on the Belmont. And you've got a number of people that are listening to the show right now, Dan, that have never, dabbled in this before. So in layman's terms, kind of explain to them if they want to put in an exacta or if they want to put in a trifecta, kind of explain to them what that ticket would look like or how they could do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to just go online, and you could do it safely, easily, legally. You go to a wagering website, a horse wagering website in particular, and you've got a number of them out there. You've got TBG, you've got ExpressBet, you've got TwinSpires. On a personal level, I use TBG, and I also use ExpressBet and FirstBet. So you could go to those websites, and within a matter of minutes, all you got to do is just enter your email address, your name. You've got to verify that you're 18, that you're in a legal wagering state. There are over 30 states where it is legal to wager. If you're listening in the Northeast, that's most of these states, and so you're in good shape. And you go on there and you deposit money. The quickest way is with a credit card, but you could do it through a checking account. And you have your wagering boxes all over the place. It'll list all the tracks for you. You click on Belmont. You then click on Race 10, which is the Belmont Stakes. And then you look for the various wagers available on the wagering menu within your betting website. And you'll see EXA, that's an exacta. You'll see TRI, that's a trifecta. So you hit exacta. And then what you could do is you could either, if you like Tiz the Law and you think he's going to win for sure, you click Tiz the Law first, and then you put Tap It to Win second, for example, and then you put in your dollar amount. You want to bet $2, you want to bet $5, you want to bet $10, you want to bet $100. For example, if you bet Tiz the Law to beat Tap It to Win in second, first and second, if you bet that exacta, there's a good chance that exacta is going to probably come back about, I don't know, I would say about $10 or maybe a little less, maybe $8 for a dollar. So if you bet it for $10, you're going to get back 80. If you bet it for $100, you're going to get back $800. So that's how it works. And if you want to be, if you want to sort of maximize your potential for winning more money, you click box. And what box means is the exacta can come out in any order. So that means Tap It to Win can win and Tiz the Law can finish second, or Tiz the Law can win and Tap It to Win can finish second. So any order, first and second, and you're cashing a ticket. And naturally, if Tap It to Win actually wins and Tiz the Law finishes second, you'll get paid a lot more because Tap It to Win is a long shot.
Okay. And if they wanted to put in a trifecta?
And if you want to bet a trifecta, it's the same scenario. You add a third horse to your trifecta. You just click another name that you like. The horses that I'm looking at here who I think are logical horses to add into a trifecta, one would be Max Player. He's one that a lot of, I think sort of the sharps are poo-pooing a little bit because he didn't beat much coming out of his last race, but I think he's one that you'd look at. He's the three horse. So you click on the three, Max Player, if you want to throw him on your ticket. You got a horse in Farmington Road, the five horse. He's one who, if the pace is hot, he's one who logically is going to be closing from the back of the pack. May not be good enough to win, but you could easily make the argument that he could finish second or third. So you put him in those spots in your trifecta. You click the horses you want in each spot, and you make sure that Farmington Road, at the very least, is in the third spot. Maybe you put him in the second spot as well. And then one other one that I'd mention is Pneumatic. It's the 10 horse. Another one who's sort of lightly raced, improving start after start, and seems versatile to the extent that he doesn't have to be on the lead. He could be sitting off the pace. And if the pace heats up and he gets the right sort of trip, he might be coming into a big race. So to summarize all of that, I would basically do a trifecta where you put Tap It to Win and Tiz the Law in the first spot. In the second spot, you could add Max Player, Farmington Road, and Pneumatic. And then in the third spot, you want to add those horses as well. So that total ticket there would cost you $30, if I'm correct, for a dollar. You could also bet it for 50 cents if you wanted to go a little lighter. It's a $15 bet, very manageable bet. If you hit the trifecta, for example, with Tap It to Win winning, Tiz the Law second, and let's say Farmington Road third, for a dollar, that could easily come back about $200, $250, maybe even $300. And if things go really crazy and Tap It to Win wins, Farmington Road finishes second, Pneumatic finishes third, Tiz the Law is off the board, you're probably looking at a ticket closer to $1,500 to $2,000.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got a very special guest on, Dan Torgman. You can find him at America's Best Racing and ABR. And check them out. Great, great content to get you in the know. And he's getting us in the know. So we just talked about the Belmont Stakes. You gave us a great breakdown in regard to how to wager on that race. Race number six kicks off in about 20 minutes. And I know that you're very fond of this race. And you've got a horse that you like here. And who is it?
So I think your value play in here is the three horse, Highland Glory. I will say for those wagering for the first time, looking to get in on some action that might pay a good amount of money. This also kicks off the pick five sequence. Again, think of it as a five-team parlay. You got to pick the winners of the next five races. Not as daunting as it sounds. You don't just have to pick one horse in each race and win. You get to pick multiple horses in each race if you want and build out a bigger ticket. And so for me, when I'm playing the pick five, which starts here in 20 minutes with race six, which is the Wonder Again Stakes, the two horses that I'm using on my ticket are going to be the horse I mentioned, Highland Sky, and also the two horse, Sweet Melania. Sweet Melania is going to be the pace. That means that horse is going to come out of the gate and go right to the lead. In all likelihood, she'll be alone on the lead, which will benefit her, and she could take them all the way. For me, I'm going to take a little bit of a stand against her, though, because she hasn't raced since November, and there's, you know, in a race like this, there are two other horses who, even though on paper don't look like they're, you know, the front end types, are going to keep her honest enough, I think, which will set up for Highland Glory, the three horse, who coming out of the last race ran in a lower profile race, but had a ton of trip trouble, checked early on, was in a bunch of traffic, had to work her way out of it, and showed a lot of resiliency. That when you see that from younger horses, especially a three-year-old filly, recover from that and still almost win, I thought visually she ran a very impressive race. So assuming that Sweet Melania gets a little pace pressure, Highland Glory, the three horses, the horse is going to come late and swoop by and win the race. Now, to be safe, though, like I said, you may want to hedge by using Sweet Melania as well. Same goes if you're playing those exactas. You could do Sweet Melania and Highland Glory in your exacta, or if you're building a trifecta, you might want to use both of those horses on top.
Okay. The other race that, so then let's go. So we're looking at that pick five. So let's go to race seven. Who do you like from race seven?
In race seven, one of my really strong value plays of the day, Light in the Sky, the 10 horse. This is a horse who, on turf, which is what this race is, sprinting, in her second career start, ran a huge race at Saratoga, has only had one other opportunity to run with the same sort of conditions on the turf, sprinting, and that was against much tougher horses, and she didn't lose by much. Here, she adds blinkers, which is a variable that helps a lot of horses, like this one, especially getting some early speed out of her. And she's got a new trainer as well, who does really well adding blinkers and also coming off a little bit of a layoff. So the 10, Light in the Sky, is 8-1 morning line. Might go off a little lower than that, just because there have been a couple of scratches out of this race, meaning there were horses that were supposed to run in this race that were taken out for various reasons. And so I like Light in the Sky. If you're building a pick five ticket, though, I'd also add the 8 horse, My Sassy Sarah. She's running company with Light in the Sky. And another one to look at is Spicetown Gal, the 12 horse. So those were the three horses that I think, you know, you could pretty comfortably build your picks around for this race. If you want me to move on, I could go on to, you want me to just go on to the eighth and just run
out
the sequence,
please, because we don't have a lot of time, so that'd be great.
Yeah, happy to do it. So in the eighth race, which is the Acorn Stakes, Bob Baffert comes in with the big horse. That's Gamine, the one. I'd say you use that horse on tickets, but I'm going to look to beat Gamine with Casual, who's a horse that's coming in with a lot of upside as well. Only 2 career starts, last out, took a lot of pressure and still ran on and won. So for me, 1-4 in the eighth race, the Acorn Stakes, that's Casual and Gamine. In the ninth race, you could go a couple of different directions here. I love Oleksandra, the 2 horse. She's the only female horse in the race. She's 2-for-2 at Belmont. Is going to like the 6 furlong distance, whereas some of these I have some concerns about. A long shot, if you want to throw a long shot into your ticket in the ninth race, throw the 1 horse in. Kanthaka, coming off of a pretty long break for trainer Grand Motion, who's been red hot with his turf runners, give that one a look. And if you want to throw in a third one, maybe Texas Wedge, the 3 horse. And then moving on to the Belmont Stakes, like I said, I think you can key in on a couple of horses. For me, it's going to be Tap It to Win and Tis the Law. Underneath, maybe, you know, if you're building out a really big ticket, you could throw in Max Player, Farmington Road, and Pneumatic. But realistically, I don't think any of those horses have a shot at winning. So you may want to leave them off of pick five, but use them in your trifectas. And I also mentioned in the Belmont Stakes, you may want to use the 9 horse Dr. Post in some of those trifecta tickets. A realistic contender to finish second or third, I think, but not to win. So for your pick five ticket, use Tis the Law, the 8 horse, and the 1, Tap It to Win.
I'm sorry, just to confirm again, the race 9, who do you like again?
Yeah, so race 9, the Acorns, the Jiper Stakes, we're going to go with the 2 horse, Oleksandra. And if you wanted to add a couple of more horses to build out a bigger ticket, you could add the one and the three, Kanthaka and Texas Wedge.
Fantastic. Dan, great stuff. Really do appreciate it. Dan Torjman, you can find him at America's Best Racing, ABR. Check out their site. And really do appreciate a good amount of your time this afternoon. Dan, thank you so much for joining us on 98.7 ESPN. Thank you, my friend.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
All right.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.